This is West Virginia Morning from West Virginia Public Broadcasting. I'm Beth Voorhees. Almost 100 residents from several counties throughout the state are filing lawsuits against several companies engaged in horizontal drilling activities. Glennis Board went out to Doddridge County to catch a glimpse of life in the growing rural gas fields there.
Lyndia Ervolina is standing in her front yard, 75 feet or so from Route 50. She's pointing to several heavy trucks passing by.
They're hauling water. They're hauling that sand. They're hauling silica sand. They're hauling frack fluid. They're hauling, you name it. They haul it in and out. They bring all
drill cuttings, heavy machinery, pipe. Ervolina sees it all from her front porch. For the past 30 years, she and her husband have lived in her charming home that rests in a nook off of Route 50. She says traffic became an issue 4 or 5 years ago when horizontal drilling took off in this neck of Doddridge County. She's not an industry expert, but she knows what it's like to live surrounded by horizontal drilling operations.
They're doing pipeline, they're doing wells, they're doing new pads, they're doing, you know, anything they can build. They've got storage areas back in there where they haul all their pipe in, and there's just so much activity.
Not only is the industry moving around Ervolina on wheels, gas has moved into her front yard, literally. She has this beautiful garden, and it's clearly seen a lot of work, but it's also clearly fallen into disrepair. And standing there, it's really not hard to guess why. There's this heavy odor wafting through the air that makes you worry about the presence of open flames. Ervolina says the smell is coming from across the street.
I have a condensate tank up there that they blow off, that they put in when they put the pipeline in. That's right across the road. And, you know, they could have chosen so many places to put that. I have no idea why they put it right across from our house. It's a tank that cleans the gas as it goes through to get a lot of the impurities and stuff off of it. And they just blow it off into the air. So when it's blown off into the air, it comes straight to my house.
Ervolina's story is one of many in the northern gas fields. Over the past year, about 50 cases and 100 claimants have filed suit, mostly in Harrison and Doddridge counties, but also Pleasants, Kanawha, Ritchie, Marion, and Monongalia. Citizens are filing suit against several companies, including Colorado-based Antero Resources, West Virginia-based Hall Drilling, and Pennsylvania-based EQT. The negligence and nuisance claims are coming from residents and property owners like Ervolina who live in the vicinity of oil or natural gas drilling activities. I drove around and spoke to other residents in the community who are also worried about things like air and noise pollution, but few are willing to publicly voice concerns because they don't want to openly criticize economic development in their rural backyards. Some members of the community get paid to do odd jobs for gas companies like monitor traffic or help clean up spills. Still others, like Ervolina, who are filing suits, have been advised by legal counsel not to discuss their issues. And if their cases are settled, they're often legally forbidden from discussing problems as part of the legal agreement. Attorney and co-founder of the West Virginia Surface Owner Rights Organization, Dave McMahon.
Interestingly, there have not been that many nuisance cases brought. There occasionally are, but that's because there's often not enough money in one nuisance case for a lawyer to be able to make that, to bring the case on a contingent fee basis. And very few people living out there in the country have the money to pay a good lawyer an hourly basis to bring one of these cases.
McMahon isn't a lawyer filing these cases. But he was present when the 50 cases filed in the state were compiled into a mass litigation suit, which is when many similar cases are compiled to be heard and judged on simultaneously to avoid conflicting rulings and clogging the court system. McMahon says here in West Virginia, this kind of legal action is really sometimes the only recourse people have.
The Horizontal Well Act that was passed a couple years ago didn't do what it should have for surface owners, we say. There were a number of studies that were put in instead of actually surface owner protections. The studies were conducted by WVU and other places. The studies made recommendations to give better protection to surface owners, but neither the DEP nor the legislature have made those changes. So what we have to hope is that these actions of the courts will protect people and will deter the industry from doing the kinds of nuisance things that they've been doing.
Meanwhile, back along Route 50 in Doddridge County, Lyndia Ervolina doesn't own any mineral rights under her two-acre lot. She really doesn't have anything to gain from living within arm's reach of such industry. Companies have no legal obligation to explain what they're doing, even if it's happening right across the street. And there's no forum to facilitate communication. So she and her family are often left in the dark to wonder and worry. She says moving away isn't off the table, as many others have already done, but it's a painful thought to entertain.
My house has no value now, and I wonder if I should take what money we have left and invest it in the house, or just figure that we might have to move out of here. And I mean, it kind of leaves you just in this limbo. I just turned 67, so my husband's 68, and you know. Kind of hard to start over.
We reached out to Antero, EQT, Hall Drilling, and the West Virginia Oil and Natural Gas Association for comment on this story, but we didn't get any replies. For West Virginia Public Broadcasting, I'm Glynis Board in Doddridge County.
The CIA torture report was released last week. It was a 7-year investigation into interrogation tactics used during the war on terrorism, conducted by the Senate Intelligence Committee. While the report has left the nation's headlines in favor of more current news, the report still resonates with West Virginia Senator Jay Rockefeller, a member of that committee. He spoke to us from Washington earlier this week. It's been a week since that report was released about interrogation techniques. There's been a lot of reaction to it. Do you have any reaction to the reaction?
I don't. My view on the report is that it was researched meticulously over a period of 6 or 7 years, over an incredibly important moral, political, behavioral subject, that is the idea of doing torture. And I think it's at 6,800 pages with 37,500 footnotes, which is really the key to its accuracy. And it reveals a part of the American government turned loose, without discipline, without standards, to wreak havoc upon a number of individuals and to break the rules and give us a very bad name. And so the purpose of the report was to simply not to have it to the right or to the left, but just have it right down the center. And one thing, Beth, is I hope that you read the report. You'll hate me for saying that because it's a hard, long read. But you come out of it a very different person.
How so?
You come out of it shocked, and you come out of it saying, "Now wait a second, Americans don't do this. How could we have possibly gotten into this situation?"
I guess I'm a little confused about when all of this was going on. Of course, we were all shocked from the photos from the Abu Ghraib prison years and years ago.
Right.
Was this going on during that time or after that time? Because I wonder, what did we learn from Abu Ghraib?
Well, the subject of what we learned from Abu Ghraib was not something we covered. And the answer was to that question would probably be not enough.
Mm-hmm.
This was started, basically, we started the torture, or the CIA did, and we'll talk about the ways they did it. It was so amateur, so roguish, so irresponsible, un-American, and potentially very criminal. That started basically in 2002, 2003. The President of the United States had no idea that we were torturing people until the year 2006. And you say, well, how come? And I certainly am shocked by that, but I think the reason was plausible deniability, which is no reason whatsoever. I mean, if he's running the country, he's got to be on top of this situation. Every single morning he gets an intelligence briefing, and this is right at the core of it. So, I mean, it's a very sorry chapter in American history and a great learning tool for the future. There are ways that you can interrogate people the way the FBI does, as opposed to the way the CIA does, or at least some of the CIA does, which respects somebody's existence, and you get a lot of information. Or you can just beat the heck out of people and waterboard them and dangle them from ceilings so their toes can't touch the ground, so their arms come out of their bodies. You know, that kind of thing, and you get nothing. And so you just you pick and choose. If you want to find out, you interrogate people to find out information. To do that, they have to be people. They can't be slabs of meat, living meat or dying meat. And the FBI knows how to do it, which is why the FBI got up and walked out of these interrogations all over the world in disgust of people, CIA people who are doing the interrogating, and cabled back to headquarters in Langley that, look, we've got all we can get out of this guy. Just stop beating him to death. And the answer always came back, no, there's always something more you can get. Keep up the program. The program, as it was called. And the program was horrible.
A conversation with Senator Rockefeller continues tomorrow on West Virginia Morning. West Virginia Morning is a production of West Virginia Public Broadcasting, which is solely responsible for its content. Support for our news bureaus comes from Shepherd University, West Virginia University, Marshall University, and Concord University. Our director is Teresa Wills. I'm Beth Voorhees.